Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
State Supreme Court justices are considering a unique Second Amendment gun rights case. It involves a Boston homeless woman appealing her 2013 conviction under a state law banning private possession of stun guns, weapons that deliver an electrical shock. The defendant, Jamie Caetano, says she was protecting herself against a violent ex-boyfriend. Here's her lawyer, Benjamin Keene, arguing the case before the court yesterday.
She could have shot him if she had a licensed handgun. Would that have been preferable? This is what's important about stun guns. They work, and they do not kill. That cannot be said about any other weapon of self-defense.
But on the other side, prosecutor Michael Caneb argued stun guns are not just for self-defense.
What's good for defensive with stun guns is also good for offensive. They're small, they're easily handled, they're easily concealed. They may be non-lethal, but they do cause incapacitation and intense pain. They're able to be used for repeated indiscriminate use.
After the oral arguments yesterday, the state Supreme Court is expected to issue a ruling in the case sometime in the next 5 months. For some analysis this morning, we turn now to UCLA law professor Eugene Volokh, an expert on the U.S. Constitution and on gun laws. Good morning, Professor, and thanks for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
In this particular case, the defendant is appealing her conviction under the law, saying it infringes on her right to bear arms and defend herself under the Second Amendment. How significant is this case, do you think?
Well, at this point, it looks like about five states and several cities have these kinds of laws. And there are potentially tens of thousands of people in those places who might be inclined to use stun guns. Sometimes because they don't want a lethal weapon. They don't want, they either have moral or religious objections to using guns, or perhaps they're afraid that they might make a mistake, or that their children will get their hands on the weapon, and they find stun guns to be, therefore, a more valuable tool for self-defense than handguns.
We should point out, I think, that you are among several lawyers who represent a Massachusetts group called Arming Women Against Rape and Endangerment, which filed an amicus brief in this case. I want to ask, how widespread is the private use of stun guns by women and other people?
We don't know for sure. There's no specific census of stun guns out there. There have been hundreds of thousands of so-called tasers that have been sold to private users, and that's not counting the ones sold to law enforcement throughout the country. So we know that. But there are also things that are basically just touch weapons that look like kind of batons that can deliver an electric shock. We don't know how many of those have been sold. To be sure, like all weapons, this is a weapon that could be used for crime as well as for self-defense. There's no doubt about that. That is surely true of guns as well. Yet under the Second Amendment, the tools of self-defense are protected for law-abiding citizens, even though they can sometimes be misused by criminals.
Let me ask about one more facet in the Massachusetts case. As we mentioned, the defendant, Jamie Caetano, is homeless, and the court is being asked to decide whether the Second Amendment right to defend yourself in your home applies to someone who doesn't have a home. It's an interesting angle, but how significant is the question?
Well, there are two components to this question. One is, does the Second Amendment extend to defending yourself wherever you happen to be, at least setting aside special places like schools and government buildings and such? Or is it limited to the home? And even if, generally speaking, there isn't a right to defend yourself outside the home, should there be such a right for somebody who's homeless, who doesn't have a home, a place of refuge they could repair to that where they would be able to defend themselves, and especially when the self-defense at issue is defense using a non-lethal weapon or an almost entirely non-lethal weapon as opposed to a deadly weapon? My sense is that the court is probably not terribly likely to say, well, there's going to be one rule for homeless people and another rule for other people. But I think the court could well say that at least when it comes to non-lethal weapons, there is a right. But one other thing that's important in this case is the statute here does not distinguish between home possession and carrying outside the home. It's a total ban on stun guns. So I think the Massachusetts court can simply say, look, this statute is unconstitutional because it's a total ban. We don't have to decide in this case whether a more narrowly crafted statute would be constitutional.
State Supreme Court is expected to decide this case in 5 months. UCLA law professor Eugene Volokh, thank you very much for speaking about it with us this morning.
Very much my pleasure.